in season with sake.
Yes, it is that time. It is 11:15. If you just join in, welcome. My sister Queen is in the house. How are you?
I am really, really good. Grateful, blessed, happy to be here, and always good seeing you, my sister Queen.
Yes.
And good morning to all our listeners as well.
Thank you so much. Sure. I cannot relate to this topic. However, I know that there are millions who can. A listener wrote in, I think, 30 minutes ago, and she was saying, it's like, you know, today's devotion really touched me because my marriage is falling apart. So I don't know what that means, whether they've entered divorce yet or it's still rocky. So, you know, I was just like saying, hey, if you know that you love the Lord and you have been called according to his purpose, know that things are not falling apart, but they're falling in place.
In place, yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But divorce, Liesl, and marriage is a widespread reality in many families, and also in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
In the body of Christ as well. Whilst there are different views on the special, specific topic that is, all of which are supported by scripture.
Yes.
Today, we will be touching on the trauma of divorce, from divorce, on an individual, and also, how the status impacts those caught in the aftermath of the act. Now, I want to know, from reading your amazing, amazing book, Beautifully Flawed, that I know that you have walked the road as a divorcee. What has your experiences been throughout that time, and how also did you, or rather, how did those moments impact your life moving forward?
Sure. Firstly, I need to say, when you spoke about the listener who sent a message about where her marriage is currently, I felt the weight of what she shared with you. Because for something to fall apart, in essence, that alone is already devastating news. But to share that weight of the marriage, like a covenant, is falling apart, I felt it. And as you were talking, for me, again, it is very interesting that the topic of today zooms in on the traumas from divorce.
Yeah.
And not specifically the divorce, action of divorce. And maybe I think I just want to pause for a moment for everyone that's just tuned in to highlight the definition of trauma. And we have spoken about this before, but I mean, I want to give context to everyone that is tuned in. That trauma is described or can be described as an emotional response to a distressing event or a traumatic event. And that event or the distressing event can then obviously lead to further effects on a person's emotional well-being, whether it's physical, emotional, social, or even spiritual well-being. Today, however, I need to share the truth. Truth be told, for me specifically, is that the fact that we're talking about divorce today, Saki, had me in so many different feelings that my heart started beating the minute myself and Rowan spoke about the topic.
Sure.
And it started beating outside of my chest because many years ago, in 2008, shortly after I met the Lord, shortly before or during the proceedings of my second divorce, and shortly after I encountered God, after I experienced his grace, after I felt how his love basically just healed me and filled the crack of all my brokenness that I had inside of me. And after I committed my life back into his hands, I was still going through a second divorce. And I asked the Lord, how will I ever be able to talk and to speak about this topic if I myself have gone through it and now for the second time? Because the thing is I felt God's grace, but yet I was stuck in the height of a divorce that was very public, very shameful, and I know exactly what the Bible is saying about divorce. And that evening I remembered very vividly. I didn't get an answer from the Lord. I didn't get an answer from the Bible. All I got was the scripture, but it didn't really say about, you know, you've been redeemed because of divorce. No, I didn't get anything. I didn't hear anything from the Lord. So I just cried myself to sleep. And so for years, I just stayed quiet on the topic because I didn't know what to say. But for me, specifically, and I'm going to come back to what I just mentioned now, specifically to your question, the trauma caused from the divorce in my own life came in two specific forms. The first divorce, I need to talk about this, during a time when I was still deep in sin. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who know my story, my life, as I shared my story beautifully, Floyd, I speak about how deep in sin I once was. Mm-hmm. I was the cause of that marriage failing. And I was the one who inflicted the pain on my children and their father. And I was the one who brought shame into the family. And I was the first one in the family that went through divorce. So it was a very shameful, sinful experience. But I was so deep in unhappiness and in my own selfish state of pride and anger and blaming everybody for where I found myself at that time that I didn't recognize how the decision that I took at that point was harming my children, their father, but more specifically my daughter. And years later, after myself and Simone now reconciled and our relationship became better, Simone described a scene, and you know with divorce, there's, you know, the settlement, who gets what and all that. So Simone then described a scene after I picked my children up after they've spent the day with their father. But that day it was raining, and as they got into their car, their father walked away. So he didn't have a car, he didn't have a house of his own to stay in, because I got the car, I got the children, I got the house. And what Simone saw as I drove away is totally oblivious to what my daughter was experiencing as a 9-year-old. She saw her dad broken, walking alone in the rain. Like she said, "Mommy, I saw my dad walking in a storm alone, and we sitting in a car shielded and protected from that storm, and there he walked alone. There was nobody with him because myself and Lionel was with you in the car." So every time I think about this image, then I realize the pain and the trauma that of a decision that I took was inflicted on Simone. And it was inflicted on my son. That image she kept with her for years, and because she had that image of a father that was broken because of a decision that her mother took, at the time she didn't even know why the decision happened. But she then started resented me because her father was not in her life. She became angry, and then as a result, her rebellion against me also then led to further actions that harmed her, because there's a consequence to rebellion and rebellious actions. So I think the trauma of the divorce severed her innocence and robbed her from her confidence that she once had in her mom. It robbed her of the confidence that she had in a family unit, and it robbed her also the confidence of what she believed that she herself was capable of. For years, Simone, my daughter, didn't bite her nails. She bit her fingers. That she started chewing because she was just a nervous wreck, because I think the image of what she saw. And I'm sharing the detail of this because that is the trauma of divorce outside of a decision based on either reaction or a response of why the marriage dissolved. And I think I can go to scripture, but in essence, as we want to talk about the evidence of what God can do. With the second divorce, for me, I'm talking about Simone, but my son was 5 years old, and I thought that he was safeguarded and he didn't really experience the effect of the divorce. But when he got older and he started asking questions, and his father, because his father was still hurt and angry with me, shared some of the reasons why we separated, my son then also became rebellious. And I'm sharing this mother, father, husband, wife, that these are the traumas that our children actually suffer because of decisions that we take. And with the second divorce that I went through, for those of you who don't know, yes, I went through a second divorce. And the second divorce, although it was also a divorce, the actions and the trauma effect was different. Whilst my children suffered a different type of trauma, because now it's the second time, and they went through the shame and the anger of why didn't mommy see this, I also felt the trauma, because I felt that I received a dose of karma. And I thought like that because that was before I met the Lord. And that whole trauma really broke not just my own heart, my mind, I was so emotionally broken down that I only lived by drinking sleeping tablets or taking antidepressants. And my bond with the family broke because as my family then started supporting the exes, I felt that they were putting me aside. Yeah. So it is the whole thing and the trauma of divorce, it just really breaks our perspective of the reality. We cannot see the real reality because we're so enthralled in the effects of and the consequences of that decision. So for me, I think the reason why I'm sharing the details of what I went through, I know that after I connected with the Lord and cried out for help after the second divorce, I believe that God turned my trauma on my heart first. He turned it into trauma because then I started seeing myself as a different person worthy of His love. Because the effect of divorce, that is besides the financial hardship and everything else, the fact that you are strained, you're now becoming a single mom, or a single parent, everything changes in terms of the dynamics of a home. But the trauma on your own life and your own heart and your own emotions, that is what is most devastating. And I needed to connect with God because in trauma, in battle, if you are without your Creator, you fall apart.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what happened to me. My life fell apart because I was alone in it. And nowhere did I consult God in the matter.
I have no words. But praising God that you are now here where you are today to be able to, you know, save other lives through what you have went through into your testimony, Liesl. Now, you've shared a lot, you know, about the trauma and the divorce placed on your children, yourself and the father of your children.
Yeah.
Much of which was inflicted, you know, by your own decision to divorce.
Yeah.
What role did society and more specifically the church played in your experience as a divorcee?
Well, I think the behavior of a great deal of society taught me that judgment is actually hatred that is sugar-coated with levels of reasons justifying their actions or their words. And for me, I felt the hatred, never mind how it was given to me. I felt that. Being judged, ostracized, and labeled is it's a worth-destroying parasite. Because it's enough that you're already living in the consequences of your choice, the decision that you've taken, which is contradictory, and it speaks against everything that the Lord describes He wants for a covenant. You're really sitting in that, and to hear those judgment and being ostracized really destroys you from your worth. And literally, it's like a parasite that just opens up the wound of your unworthiness even more. Yeah. It is such an unsettling feeling to go through as a divorced person. And because I myself, Queen, was covered with so many levels of unworthiness, specifically after the society labels that came with the first and the second divorce, I then continued to connect it with anyone who gave me a moment of their time.
Mm.
And that is the trauma that comes from divorce, that is separate to the decision that you've taken. You are so hungry for validation at times that it silenced the common sense, man. You just want to belong somewhere. Just want to be somewhere.
Yeah.
And so you also become like almost blinded to the warning signs that the choices that you're actually making places you deeper in this abyss of sin brought on by the decision of divorce. So I did not take proper care of my body, my mind, and my spirit, and neither did I believe that I had any abilities, because I believe that I was now shame because I did the sin that the Lord speaks about, that He hates divorce. The Bible is very clear about that. So during that phase of my life, I then didn't go after any of my dreams. I just kind of existed in it. But the thing is this, the level of my judgment actually felt after the second divorce felt a little bit worse, because even after I had my encounter with the Lord. So the thing is this, I had my encounter with the Lord during the process of the second divorce. And I then did what every good spiritual child would do after you've encountered God, you've experienced His love, I felt His love literally filling all the cracks in my life, and I became this whole person whenever I was in His presence. So I joined a spiritual house and I practiced humility because the Lord teaches me that you need to be humble, and I wanted to learn as much as I could. But sadly, I was told in the spiritual house that I belonged at the time that according to God's word, I am an adulterer. So for somebody who's experienced God's grace and His love, for me, that literally broke me. There was a reference made that I need to go back and reconcile with my first husband, who was now remarried already. And in my mind, I was thinking, how? God, tell me. So I just became quiet in the Lord. Sure. But even more so, and so I became quiet in the Lord because I experienced God, and I didn't know what to say at the time. I knew when the people were saying these things that my heart was no longer the way it used to be. I knew that my flesh was no longer ruling over my mind and my body. I begged God to answer me, Sister Queen, but He didn't. So as a result of what I then heard by the body, the church, the people, even though my heart then received God's grace, I still walked with my head down. Yeah. I still walked as if I was covered in shame. Back then, I thought I was not growing, but the process and where I am now, and this is, I think, the lesson that I want to give to anyone that's tuning in. Back then, I thought that I was not growing, but the process taught me that at the time, I was actually just planted in Him, and anything that's planted is buried like a seed. And when you are buried like a seed, whatever is in you is still undiscovered. So whilst I didn't know what to speak about the topic then, I needed to live through the condemnation of that time to honor Him for what I experienced privately. So we experience God's grace and we experience God privately. Because the thing is this, we can't convince anyone of what we experienced when we encountered God. But God can surely show and reveal His work at His time. And so He did. And now, 15 years later, I can speak about the topic. Yes, scripture says that it's true, and God's grace healed me. I'm no longer walking in shame. I'm not going to prescribe to being an adulterer if God has taken everything and He washed it in the sea of forgetfulness, if I can put it that way.
Sure. It is really indeed sufficient for you, you know. I love it. You're now clothed with glory and honor, you know, because of that grace. I'm going to hear. Well, we have to hear what the people are saying, right? But, you know, your experience with divorce, Liesl, and the redemption that was caused by the abounding grace of God certainly counts as a reminder, you know, that we serve a perpetually just and loving God. And that He is the same God that spared the city of Nineveh, regardless of what Jonah perceived as just, specifically after, you know, the process God put through Jonah through to get him
to,
you know. Do you have any closing comments?
Oh my goodness, you had to go there. I think my testimony, Queen Sakhi, and everything that God has done, and the love that He has poured on me keeps on reminding me that God is not intimidated by the complexities of our sin. I need to say it again. God is not intimidated by the complexities of our sin. Because if you experience God's love, He already knew what He needed to do to heal you from the complexities that the world sees as complexities. So He searches our hearts and He blesses us with His bountiful grace. And then one way in which we can then honor Him is through our obedience. Once you experience the grace of his love. Mm. So I need to come to this because this is part of the grace. My husband and I, my third husband, we are celebrating our ninth year, or we had celebrated our ninth year anniversary in May. Yes, God redeems. And so whilst we have experienced moments when our marriage was really not comfortable, because I think it's hard work to make sure that the love remains. But because we have now been refined by God's truth, we've been tested and we've been taught, we have learned to consult the one who is our counselor, the one that guides our steps, and the one who gives grace and teaches us how to work through our differences and our disappointments. And then on top of that, I think we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, people who have been on the brink of going through a divorce, people who have maybe gone through divorce but then reconciled. And that evidence is that it shows me that God has given us capacity to forgive our spouses, and similarly, God still has the power to heal, restore, and deliver whatever our spouses are maybe caught in, or what we ourselves are caught in still that we need to get rid of from a fleshly point of view. So for those of you who have gone through a divorce, who're still finding yourself in a place where I once were, I want to declare today that God freed you from your past, and nothing in your past can follow you into your next. And I want you to picture this. If you encountered God and you boldly crossed through the part that he created through the Red Sea. I want you to picture this. If you have boldly walked through the part that God created for you through the Red Sea, then you must also know that everything that tried to follow you through the Red Sea died when God brought the ocean back to where it was. Thing is dead. God has taken us out of Egypt. We don't need to. And even if you go back and go into the Red Sea to take out that thing that once kept you enslaved in Egypt, die ding is dood.
Yeah.
It's dead. God has redeemed you. And what we have is a life now, a new life.
Yeah.
And God is able to restore, and he's able to heal.
Amen.
And he's able to give you courage and boldness. I am the evidence. That regardless of where I've been, God has renewed everything inside of my heart.
Sure, and we praise him. Esmeralda saying, morning, Sake and Liesl. Sake, your guest. Wow, wow, wow. Always so honest, so real. Thank you so much, Liesl. Where and how can I buy your book, please, Liesl?
you can get my book at Exclusive Books. Or you can contact me. Either way, you are going to read the story. It's available at Exclusive Books.
Yeah. I want to read Marsha's message. It's saying, good morning, Sake. So according to my understanding as Marsha, the Bible says we may only divorce due to infidelity. And if you remarry, you marry a believer. What is the guest speaker's take on this, as I'm struggling to understand how many believers remarried not due to infidelity or remarrying to a believer afterwards? Do you have anything to say to Marcia?
My only response to that is grace. It was something that I've journeyed through the Bible on several occasions regarding this topic, but Marsha, I experienced God's grace when I freed myself from any decision that I took before I encountered him. And when I say encountered him, is that moment where you literally poured everything that once was before his throne. And you said, Lord, I am sorry for this decision, for that action, for everything that I said, for how I hurt you, for everything that I broke as a covenant with you. And you know the sincerity of where that flowed from. And if you receive God's grace the way I received it, grace washed over everything. We do not need to go back and try and fix things unless the Lord tells us to. Let me just rephrase that. Because some people do get back and they do remarry their previous spouses. But if the Lord has forgiven you,
Sure.
Honor him in what he has given you for your next.
Yeah.
And don't go and take out what he has already redeemed you from.
And that really, really is important. Margaret is saying, good morning. Awesome. Rather awesome testimony. I've been married for 32 years and divorced for 7 years. I give God all the glory for protection and restoration is taking place. Carol is saying, the then husband left me at 2 months pregnant for another woman. My son is now 36 and vowed that his children will never lack love. He is happily married with 2 children. Now, my question with regards to that message, quickly before we wrap up, with regards to the trauma from divorce, now from the lens of the kids.
Yeah.
You see, Carol's son vowed that he will never, his children will never lack love. Do you think there is some sort of positive thing that can be taken out of that, or a positive lesson that can be learned?
Sometimes our children learns what not to do by our wrong actions and decisions.
Yeah.
And just based on what Carol is saying about her son learned something that he never wants his own wife to go through.
Mm.
And that is, he learned what not to do.
Yeah. Sure. And you mentioned reconciliation, you know, with regards to you going back to your first husband. Is that important, you know, to go back, to humble yourself and say, I'm sorry for 1, 2, 3, so that you as the individual can move on?
Yes. I think I cannot speak like this and share my testimony if I had not done the due diligence, if I can put it that way, with those whom my actions have harmed.
Mm.
I had to go back to my children's father, and ask forgiveness for what I have placed on him because of my disobedience and my infidelity at the time. And I could see how our relationship became better. That now many years that we can actually have a decent conversation.
Yeah.
And he's happily married, I'm happily married, but there's no longer that resentment and that unforgiveness.
Mm.
So it is very important. I think it makes a difference. First, it humbles you as a person for the wrong choices that you have done.
Yeah.
But it also then, it shows you a little bit of God's compassion, because that is most of the time that you get from the person who you then go to ask forgiveness.
Mm.
You get compassion. And who is the feeder of compassion? God.
Yeah.
So the experience, as much as it was, it started with trauma, the triumph that God brings even out of the trauma for me is what we need to focus on.
Mm.
And how God can restore.
Yeah.
And how God can heal. Mm. And how God can bring back together that which was once broken.
Yes, because we're only clay in the hands of the potter, right?
That's right.
Sure, love it.
That's right.
Marcia is saying, thank you for that answer, and I appreciate it, and much has been clarified for me. All the best, and God bless you. Liesl, where can our people find you?
Queen Sake, I think you can give my number.
Okay.
Yes. And I'm also going to give down my email address for you. I'll write it down so that you can share it with them. And if you want my book is called Beautifully Flawed. And it is available at Exclusive Books, or you can contact me directly. And I'll give the email address in the meantime. Sake is going to spell it for you. It's Liesl, Liezel, at kintsukeroy-consulting.com. And Kint Sukeroy is spelled kintsukeroy-consulting.com.
Don't worry, I will send it to you personally.
If you know what it means, then you will understand why I'm sticking with this name. I'm not changing my company name. The Lord gave me that business name.
Yeah, can you quickly refresh us for those who are tuning in for the first time?
Okay, so Kintsukeroy Consulting was inspired by a Japanese pottery art form. So when the Japanese makes pottery objects and the objects breaks for whatever reason, they don't throw it away. What they do, they fill the cracks of those broken objects with a gold look. cure. But here's the thing. The reason why they do it is because they believe that an object is more beautiful for having been broken.
Sure.
And every time I say it, then I feel, because I know how broken my life once was and how God restored everything with grace and humility and confidence in Him and strength that comes from Him. And that is my kinsikroid. That came, I was consecrated by God.
Yes, I love
it. And therefore beautifully flawed.
Yes, sure. I love it. Mama, we will be back, after 2 weeks.
Yeah, every 2 weeks. I think I need to come like every week. Rowan!
Yes, yes. But thank you so much for
all glory
today.
Be to God.
Thank you so much. And I know that this message was very much needed, for a lot of people out there. Thank you so much.